Hola. Happy Tuesday. Happy Taco Tuesday, even though we're not eating tacos, and I don't know why, but it's all good. Anyway, you know what? Welcome to the Static Podcast. You know we are brought to you by the Hester Group. If you're looking for an attorney that has a 12-year proven track record, look no further than the Hester Group to represent you if you've been involved in a serious accident. Maybe you have a workman's comp claim that needs to be filed or a criminal issue that requires representation. You need to contact the Hester Group today. That's at 314-652-4321. But remember, the choice of an attorney is an important one and should not be based solely upon advertisements. And in the event that you get into a serious accident and you suffer from whiplash, baby, let me tell you, you need to contact Dr. Deutschman over there at the Spine Center because he specializes in correcting your whiplash. Make sure you contact him today over at the Spine Center at 314-454-1437. Whether you have been involved in an accident, a fall, a sports injury, or even sleeping wrong over time, it can cause you to have whiplash, so make sure you give them a call today. All right, shouts out to our sponsor, My Blooming Health Mobile Blood Drawing Service. If you have gotten orders from your doctor to get your blood drawn, but you haven't made an appointment to go handle your business, it's time to give My Blooming Health a call because she will come to you. Make sure you contact Ms. Danita Smith over at My Blooming Health. You can reach out to her on mybloominghealth.com or go to her Facebook page at My Blooming Health. It's time to get into the headlines today. So nearly 3 months after R. Kelly was indicted on 10 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse involving four alleged victims, defense attorneys said that prosecutors still have not given up the copy of the videotape allegedly showing the singer sexually assaulting an underage girl. At a hearing on Kelly's case today, defense attorney Steve Greenberg said that he was working with prosecutors to set up a time that the defense team can view the video once prosecutors have finished making a copy for them. They had a tape, they ain't giving it up. They don't even know what he being charged with and who the girl is and if that's even him on the tape. I guess it shall continue. What do you have to say about that?
No comment.
Oh, man. Also, Jada Pinkett Smith has admitted that she's been quite nasty to women in the past who she felt overstepped some boundaries with her husband, Will Smith. She said that, you know what, I really didn't, there was only one or two times where I might have gotten a little hostile, where I felt like people, they stepped over a boundary and they were disrespectful. I feel you, Jada. I think that's par for the course. I think she's probably learned now, and I've actually seen her nastiness. I witnessed it on a red carpet for some movie. And what's that South African actress's name? Charlize Theron. They did a movie together, and Jada was not friendly to her at all. I was like, yeah, I feel you, Jada. I feel you. I would have been the same way.
Why?
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 Because, I mean, now I probably wouldn't be, but back then, yeah, when she was being hostile towards her, I would have been like, damn right. I'm with you, Jada. Anyway, in local news, big ups to our St. Louis Blues. They are headed into Game 7, and this is their 17th time they've headed into Game 7 in franchise history. The Blues are 8-8 going into the game, so good luck to them.
Yeah, it's going to be dope.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, I hope they win.
I'm not a huge hockey fan.
You're a huge hockey fan.
No, I'm not a huge hockey fan. But I'm a big St. Louis fan.
All right. Well, you know what? And we have our special guest today, award-winning chef Bobby Tesler from the St. Louis Wing Company. And he is, his company is powering our late lunch quickie today, the trivia game where I test his knowledge of things I think he should be knowledgeable of. And what are we giving away today, Chef Bobby?
I got a couple $50 gift cards here.
A couple of $50 gift cards to the St. Louis Wing Company.
Yep.
Where they can enjoy the red hot riblet wings and other flavors. How many flavors exactly?
20.
20 flavors?
20, yep. All made from scratch.
All made from scratch. What are your best selling ones?
The red hot riblets.
Yeah?
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah, and the traditional hot.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we're giving you a chance to win those, but we'll see if he actually gives you an opportunity to win those tickets because, I mean, those passes or gift cards. Whatever. If he actually does it because he's playing for you today. All right, you ready?
I guess.
You guess?
I'm a little nervous.
Are you?
Yeah, because you know we're both foodies and you might try to throw me a curve.
Well, I mean, I give you multiple choice questions and I think that...
Oh, it's multiple choice?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, okay, yeah, you got this. All right, this Missouri town boasts a hole-in-the-wall burger joint that piles cheddar cheese on top of a sizzling patty directly on the grill that forms a skirt that sticks out of the bun. Is it Hannibal, Stockton, Missouri, or Sykeston?
Oh, it's Hannibal.
It is not.
It's Sykeston.
Nope. Then Stockton.
You can't do that.
It's called Squeeze In. It's located in Stockton, Missouri, where they have a lot of different burgers, but this particular one is their best-selling one, where they pile high this cheddar cheese. I'm curious at how it looks with the skirt and
right, let's go out.
Yeah, it sounds kind of tasty.
Take a road trip?
Let's go. It sounds amazing.
See, when I leave St. Louis, I leave St. Louis.
Yeah, you don't go on road trips.
Not like...
Yeah, to Missouri towns to get hole-in-the-wall burgers.
I would like to.
Yeah, that would be dope. That would be dope.
I'm going to start doing
see.
That.
What's going on? All right, I think you'll get this one though. Let's see. All right, what third world product is a staple in American restaurants? Is it chickpeas, palm oil, or cumin?
Oh man, the third world product.
What third world product is a staple in American restaurants? Is it palm oil, chickpeas, or cumin?
I use both cumin and chickpeas, so I'm going to say one of those. So, but if I had to choose one, I'll say chickpeas. Cumin?
You know chickpeas ain't on every restaurant's recipe.
What's cumin?
Cumin? I don't know. I just put that on there. It's palm oil. Like all the fast food restaurants, they use palm oil to fry their food.
No, they don't.
Well, you don't.
That is not true.
It is true.
That's not true.
It's true.
Palm oil?
Palm oil. It's a staple in American restaurants.
It's probably in the
He's
blend.
Mad now. Look at him.
I
get
am mad.
Mad.
That's probably part of a vegetable blend.
Oh, look at you. You don't use it to fry your chicken.
It
what
might
you?
Actually be in the fryer oil that I use. But
oh, okay.
I use a blend.
Oh, okay. And what most, is it? You don't know what yours is?
No, it's just a vegetable blend.
Oh, okay.
It's a non-peanut because of the peanut allergy people. It's not lard.
Well, it probably contains palm oil.
It probably does, but we don't know that. Chefs don't really pay attention to that. We just know that it's a vegetable oil.
Look at, he just got angry.
Because I knew you were, these are hard, man. I got something for you after this show, bro.
You will definitely get the last one, and we're going to give you the gift cards whether he wins or not. How about that?
Give me something. All right.
You're going to get this one.
Give me something that you know that I know.
I know you know this one.
Because you know me.
What liquor is made with blue agave?
Oh, really?
Yeah, rum, vodka, or tequila?
Tequila.
See, I knew you would get that one.
I think everybody knows that by now.
I don't know. You'd be surprised. They'd be like, what is it? I don't know. It's a rock.
That's funny, man. Oh, wow. That was like the easiest one ever.
I knew you wouldn't get the first one. I thought for sure you'd get the second one, and I knew you'd get the last one, so.
Yeah, man. Okay.
So now you're going to check your ingredients on your oil.
I'm
surprised you didn't text
you
your restaurant.
You call it cumin, I call it cumin. But I use that in pretty much...
Everything?
Every restaurant I've ever worked at, I've used that. It's a staple for me.
I love it. Yeah, I use it in a lot of recipes. But that wasn't the correct answer.
Right.
But going back to tequila, you're actually going to Mexico for a big birthday coming up. I thought I'd mention that.
I got a what?
You're going...
I'm live on Instagram.
Okay, I need you to pay attention to what's going on.
Just,
you know what I'm saying? He wants to tape, be live. I want to be seen, be heard.
I'm
okay.
Just saying hi to
all right,
people.
All right. I understand, but you're not in conversation
all right,
with
come on. What's up?
Them.
Hi. Yeah.
All right. No, I said you've got to, going back to tequila. Tequila, of course, is a product of Mexico, and you're going on a trip.
Yeah, I am.
All right.
I'm going for my 30th birthday.
Oh, okay.
I'll
is
be
that
there.
What, your 30th?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going in. I'll be in Cancun in like 9 days.
Okay,
days.
Nice. Well, happy birthday. Happy early birthday.
Thank you.
That's exciting. We're going to give these gift cards away to somebody lucky.
Yeah.
Even though I should give you a bonus question. And make
Do
sure
it.
You...
Find one for me.
That's okay. I don't know. We'll see.
You can ask me the ingredients of bolognese.
No, that's okay. No, I know what I can ask you.
Okay.
No, because I already used that one. Oh, never mind. I had another chef on and I asked him.
But I didn't hear it.
You didn't hear it?
No.
But you're going to know it too. She knew it.
Do it.
All right. You going to give me my music back, Chris? Yeah. All right. What common ingredient, or no, what spice is a common ingredient in white sauces?
Nutmeg.
See, I told you you knew it.
Yeah. Oh, was that a multiple choice too?
You didn't even give me a chance to do it. Okay. I mean, that's a chef thing. I don't think everybody knows that. Everybody doesn't know that.
No.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I do.
Yeah, no, I'm obviously. Saying did you before you
asked? Yes, before I asked it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little trip up I do with people.
It's a classic ingredient of bechamel.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I talked to, when I interviewed Snoop, I mentioned it because, you know, he just came out with a cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, look at you. You be chefing. So I was like, yeah, I know a little something. But we do have Chef Bobby from St. Louis Wing Company here. And he has quite an interesting story. So you didn't start off. You started off in the chef world, but you've lived a couple of different lives. You want to tell our listeners about that?
Sure.
Briefly.
Yeah, I started off at a restaurant called Ricardo's in Lafayette Square as a dishwasher when I was 14.
Oh, okay.
And it's still there, actually. I just worked my way up through different restaurants, faking my way to the top. Mm. They, you know, different job interviews would ask me if I know how to do certain things, and I would lie and say, yeah. And then, you know, but I knew that I was the type of guy that could learn anything. So once I got into the place and they showed me how they did it, I learned it right away.
Right.
So I got really good at that. I got really good at cooking food and learning flavors and stuff like that. And I realized I wanted to turn it into a career because I had dropped out of school at 14. So I never went to high school. I didn't really know what I was going to do with my life, but I was really talented at cooking. So I'm like, this is what I'm going to do.
Wow. Okay. So you actually started, so were you cooking for your family at this time too? Like, were you
not
like
really
playing around in the kitchen?
No, I was mostly in restaurants, doing it in restaurants. And then some of that stuff would come over at home when I was hungry. Obviously, I just started cooking at home. But no, my mom, shout out to my mom, but she used to like make baked potatoes and like wasn't like the fanciest cook ever. So I just learned. I mean, I just kind of taught myself by watching the Food Network when it was just Emeril Lagasse.
Right.
And that was back in the 90s. So I worked in a bunch of different restaurants, and I went to college in Louisville, Kentucky, got my degree in culinary arts.
So go back. So you must have gotten your GED at some point.
I got my GED when I turned 16.
Okay.
And so I completely skipped high school, got my GED the whole time I'm working in restaurants. So then I decided that I actually want to turn it into a career, and I went to college in Louisville, Kentucky at Sullivan University, which was really fun. I learned how to put nutmeg in sauces and
right.
stuff like that. Fast forward, came back to St. Louis, worked in a couple restaurants around here. I was executive chef at Wildflower in the Central West End.
One of my faves.
Once Upon a Vine on the south side that closed down. I was a sous chef at Remy's in Clayton.
Is that still there?
They just closed a year or two ago. So yeah, I was working my way up in fine dining, and that's just what I did. And then, so I started riding motorcycles during that time.
What kind of motorcycles?
Like crotch rockets.
What is that?
Like the motorcycles you see on the highway doing wheelies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to explain it to my listeners because they might not know. Like, you could be like riding choppers or,
like the Japanese motorcycles.
Okay.
Like the, you know, street bikes.
And so when you say riding them, what were you doing?
Stunt riding.
Oh.
I was doing wheelies on the highway.
Oh, yeah. Dangerous stuff.
Yeah. Dangerous things, illegal things.
Oh, okay.
So, and that became a whole lifestyle for me. Like, riding motorcycles kind of turned me into just a full-time biker, a stunt rider. And I got broken up with by my girlfriend. I lost my job because all I wanted to do was be on my bike all the time.
Oh, so you switched passions in the middle of all of this. You were doing the restaurant thing and on the fast track to do that. And then you're like, I'm going to ride bikes.
Right, and then I got a bike and everything changed. Because it's like when you just get engulfed in this lifestyle and it's I don't know.
It's like almost like a skateboarder, but it's like that sort of thing. It's like a cultish sort of.
It takes over your entire life.
Okay. You're like looking for the new helmet and bikes.
Oh, man, you learn everything.
Okay.
So I did that. And then I had an opportunity to get into the drug business.
Oh.
And I've grown up in the neighborhood where I grew up in, it was just everywhere. You couldn't avoid it. Everybody was selling drugs. Not to glorify that lifestyle at all, but, you know, in an urban setting, that's kind of what you see, you know. So I got involved in that. I'm not going to get into details of how and what and everything, but I had an opportunity with some guys I grew up with, and I was riding motorcycles. I was like,
How does that conversation even come up? Is this like,
long story short, a waiter at my restaurant snorted coke.
Oh.
And I knew guys that sold it.
Right.
So I was like, okay, there's a connection here.
Right.
So I got it from these guys, sold it to that guy.
And just go back. I don't know if people know this, but like restaurant workers are the supposedly the highest users of drugs. They use more drugs than any other profession.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anybody has read Anthony Bourdain's book, which you have.
No, I haven't.
You
haven't? I haven't, no.
We've talked about this.
No, I don't think. No. I just talked about that little thing.
Well, if you
because he was actually really trying to get on top of that and try to change that culture, too.
Well, he was part of the, he was the one snorting coke.
Yeah.
And smoking crack and shooting heroin and
clearly
cooking. So yeah, if you ever get a chance to read Anthony Bourdain's book, it's a great read.
Oh, okay. And he talks about that.
He talks about his drug addiction. So, yeah, I mean, that's how it started. Somebody I knew used cocaine. Somebody I knew sold cocaine. And I just got into that lifestyle. And before I knew it, it became my full-time job. I was pretty heavy.
So you weren't doing the bikes alone for that,
so too? What happened was I was still working at the restaurant, still riding motorcycles. And then I had a motorcycle accident and broke my leg.
Oh.
So that's when the drug dealing became a full-time job for me.
Because you were sitting in a house waiting on people.
Yeah, couldn't work in a restaurant.
Okay.
So that sparked another lifestyle change for me. So now I was a full-blown drug dealer.
So how many years are we talking? Because, I mean, if you started working at 14 and then you...
Right, I went to college and I came back when I was like 20.
Okay, gotcha.
To St. Louis. And then I was working in restaurants for like about 2 years until I started the drug business.
Okay.
And oh man. So yeah, I did the whole drug dealing thing for about 5 years, and I can't say that it sucked.
But it ended in a way that that drug dealing normally ends,
right,
in one of two ways, they
and
say.
I knew that one of those things was going to happen. And I didn't think that I was going to get killed or anything. It was just crazy that I just knew that eventually one day I'm going to get caught. But I'm the type of guy that can talk my way out of anything.
Mm-hmm.
At least I thought.
Oh.
So I was like, all right, well, I just get a good lawyer and I can talk my way out of it.
Yeah,
that
didn't happen.
That didn't happen.
So your first offense, you went away.
Yeah, so 5 years in the drug business. I would still go work at a couple of restaurants here and there just to help out, just because I missed it. I would cook at home all the time. But, yeah, I lived a crazy lifestyle, like rock star lifestyle, flying all over the country and riding motorcycles and buying cars and bikes and living in lofts. And like,
okay, you're not supposed to make this sound like...
Okay.
Yeah. Let's go back.
It was a terrible, terrible 5 years of my life. It was so bad. No,
as long as you learned from it,
see,
like, what's the takeaway?
Okay,
like,
I wouldn't be here today talking to you if it wasn't for that.
Okay.
Because that road led me to where I am now. So when I got caught, I ended up going to prison for a couple years, and I was determined to, I mean, I had a son. My son was 4 at the time, and, like, he means the world to me. My son is my life. And my mom, my dad, and my sister, like, you know, they mean the world to me. So there was no way that I was going to go back to that lifestyle once I came home.
Right.
And being that I'm talented in what I do and my craft and you know, cooking and stuff, I knew that there's no option to go backwards. I'd rather flip burgers at Burger King before I would go back to an illegal lifestyle. So that was where my determination to become successful came from. And that's, yeah.
Now, speaking of Chef Bobby Tesler from the St. Louis Wing Company, you can check them out at stlwingco.com. So the fact that you knew and you had a focus coming out that you were going to do something different, what would you say to somebody who maybe their passion was realized very young like yours was, and then they had to spend more time in jail than you had, and they're coming out and they have to reinsert themselves into society, what kind of advice would you give them?
Just stay laser focused on what you're passionate about.
Then they should pick this before they get out of jail.
You should probably already know. Yeah. And you should dig in yourself and find something that you're passionate about that you can have fun doing.
Right.
You know, if you know, they say it's you know, not work if you're enjoying it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I'm cooking food, all my problems go away. You know, so I always, when I go into prisons and I actually talk to inmates and I work with the U.S. Probation Office and I help people as a mentor to people that are coming out of prison or that they're about to get out, they don't have any, you know, they don't really have a lot of things to look forward to. They don't know what they're going to do. They all think they're going to come home and flip houses.
Like, is that what it is?
Yeah,
okay.
They all think they're going to come home and drive trucks or get in, you know, buy a trucking company or start flipping houses. Well, where are you going to get that money from, bro? Like, it doesn't just come in a suitcase. So
Right. Basically,
just have realistic goals. You know, set realistic goals. Don't come out reaching for the stars right away. You got to reach for the branches before you can reach for the stars.
Well, some people would look at that and they'd be like, well, I mean, this is reaching for the branches. I can flip houses. I can drive a truck.
And then they're going to be very disappointed and be back in prison within 6 months.
Mm. Okay.
And I've seen it happen. The easiest thing you could do when you get out of prison is go back.
Right.
That's the easiest thing you could do. I see it all the time.
Right.
I hire guys that are on probation, and sometimes they go back to prison because they don't want to work in a restaurant because they think they're better than that because their homies are wearing $300 jeans, and they can't afford that. So what do? They go get back in the streets. Next thing you know, they're back in prison.
Because they're worried about the aesthetics of things.
Yeah, the social pressure is incredible, man. It's just is bad out here.
So I guess that's another point or something, a thing of advice, like surround yourself with people where that isn't so important. Like
exactly.
Get around people that are working regular jobs that you can feed off of and be inspired by. Don't
spend less time on social media and more time like into culture and relationships and learning, because not everybody can afford $500 shoes.
Right.
You know, but
not even those people that are posting the $500.
Exactly.
They probably can't afford them.
You
trust
look
me.
On social media and Instagram and everybody's wearing, you know, Givenchy and all these labels. And it's like, dude, I could go into all that. But surround yourself with people that don't need those things to identify themselves. You know,
mm-hmm.
I make friends with people that can, you know, add to my life and make me, you know, I'm inspired by people that are doing good things. And, you know, people that have to hide behind their labels are kind of annoying to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I have some, but
yeah.
I don't walk around with it like, with
look
my,
at me, this is yeah, all I'm worth, yeah. Everything I'm wearing.
Like if I have on a designer belt, my shirt's not like tucked behind it so you can see it. It's just there because it's a good quality piece of, you
right,
know.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, I mean, yeah, people, you know, it's okay to have friends and look up to the working man. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but we've gotten away from that so much.
It's bad. It's changed. It's shifted our culture. It's shifted our community, and it's really affecting the working class of people, because people feel this sense of entitlement because they feel it's crazy, man.
I hear it all the time. Actually, it's I mean, from everything. My mother works at Sam's, and she says literally these girls come in here, they get these jobs, they stay long enough to make enough money to get their weave and their nails done, and then they quit. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
You wanted a job to get your weave done? And then, homegirl, it's probably bad weave because you... let me stop.
Right. Yeah,
it's not even high quality
That's
hair.
That's why all these people that I hire, when I look at their resume, they've got 9 jobs in the past 6 years and you're only 23. Like, there's I don't know. The people's integrity these days is just, you know, questionable. That's why when I get a hold of somebody that has potential, I try to train them and take them under my wing. And sometimes I'm a little too personal, and I get in my feelings, and I want to help these people. I want to save these people from the streets, but I'm really passionate about, like, seeing people's progress and seeing their growth and seeing them accomplish goals. Like, if you come into my restaurant and tell me that you want to get a job because you want to, you know, get a car, get an apartment, you know, just live a normal life, I can help you get there.
Right.
That's all I need to hear. I
right.
can teach you the rest.
Right.
Just tell me that you want to be a normal person, and I got the rest.
But you mean all of these Instagram stars, you get a lot of that.
Yeah.
They want to be Instagram stars.
Well, I get people that come in for an interview in $300 sneakers and True Religion jeans. And I'm like, really? You want to work here? You can't afford that outfit. working here. So
right. It's levels. It's levels.
So yeah, it's just crazy, man.
Well, you know what? I think that you definitely have a lot to offer, especially young people, and especially people who are coming out of a situation where they were, you know, incarcerated, and they want to get, my stomach is growling, and they want to get back into the world. And you've given a lot of advice. But I wanted to ask you one particular time, or since you've owned a business, and I know that it's not always been successful. You've had your challenges.
Right.
Because you've been in business how many years now?
Eight.
8 years. Yeah. So you've passed the seven-year mark. The 2 years, you survived 2 years. Was there a time in your business ownership where you felt like you had to activate your inner fly, your inner awesome, to get to the next level, to get to this point?
You know, it's interesting you asked me that question, because you mentioned something like that before, and I was going to talk about the first time I went on Channel 2.
Mm-hmm.
It was a disaster.
What happened? Like everything that could have gone wrong went wrong?
I was so, like, poorly prepared, and I had styrofoam boxes, and that was it. I just had styrofoam boxes of, like, ugly chicken, and it was awful. My sister and I were there, and I was in front of these TV cameras, and it was April Simpson, and I had boxes of chicken on a blank table, and here's me, like, it was so bad. So, like, the next time I went on Channel 2, like, I was fly, and I had a spread, and it was dope. But you want to, and I'm going to be really transparent here.
Mm-hmm.
My inner fly, because I've always been cool, and I mean that in a very humble way. I've always been like a likable dude.
Okay.
Like motorcycles, you know, like just, I'm a fun guy. Like I'm easy to get along with. I'm a likable person. So I've known, it's like being in the streets, being in a motorcycle and, you know, lifestyle, I've been around a lot of people. So I had a philosophy. I was like, I need to expand my marketing. And this was years ago. I'm like, I'm going to hit up the strip clubs.
Uh-huh.
So I did that. And people's like, well, why are you in the strip club? I was like, look, man, check my move. It was a strategy.
Watch me work.
Yeah. So, you know, I was, and of course I like women and I like drinks. So, but it did, but I also had another,
I was ulterior, like, motive, yeah, I did, behind it. You had a plan.
I'm going to become friends with the bartenders, with the dancers, with the promoters, and get in touch with these people that, because social media is so big.
Right.
And so who's more popular on social media than dancers, bartenders, and promoters, right?
Right, right.
Like, seriously. And those people get business. They drive business. They, you know, so I became friends with those people. Mm-hmm. And it was because of me being the cool guy that I am, I was able to make friends with the people that are hot out right now, like when Instagram first started, like,
right,
6 years ago. It was like everything was slow, but the people that were popping were the strippers, the bartenders.
Because it's changing a little bit now. And plus, your business, I mean, I guess you really don't need that kind of promotion.
No,
now.
But think about it. Like, girls, you know, if there's three things in this world that dudes like,
mm-hmm,
it's food, money, and women.
Mm-hmm.
If I can tap into some of those things,
right,
by having the women come out and having them promote my food, the dudes are obviously going to be hungry.
Yeah, and then you got Red Hot Riblet Wings. Yeah. So, easy sell.
It was a marketing strategy for myself to pull out my inner fly, to promote my business, to, like, get into the clubs, and not just the strip clubs, but just being around the popular kids.
Mm-hmm.
And not in a weird way, you know, just being out there and being cool with them.
Right.
And then it helped my business.
Networking, basically.
Exactly.
So networking in a way. I mean, and that was your form of networking for your business. You realized who you needed to be close to push your brand along, and what you needed to do, and who you needed to align yourself with to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because at first, when you were like, was there a time where you were just like, okay, how am I going to market this? And that was, it was like a light that went off?
It was like, once I was out in the club, I was like, hey, wait a minute. This is a great avenue.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great platform to market my business.
Right.
I can benefit from these relationships that I'm building. So I didn't even think about it at first. It was just me going out and having a drink.
Right, exactly.
But I'm like, wait a minute. I got a whole business that I could be promoting right now.
While I'm out here spending money.
Exactly.
I could also be trying to bring this money
and
back
that's
home.
When it clicked for me. I'm like, all right, well, let me start an Instagram for my restaurant.
Right.
And then, so it was just networking and cross promoting and all that stuff. So at first it wasn't even, that wasn't even my intention.
Right.
But once I realized, like, wait a minute, I know all these people, I need to utilize that. Like, utilize my friend base.
And you had to also get comfortable with being Chef Bobby, the guy that would show up on television from time to time.
Yeah,
and you, was that something that was easy for you?
Or no.
Was it, no, the anxiety kicked in?
You know this.
That's why I'm asking.
Because you know me. I'm not that comfortable with that, with the popularity. I'm really not. And you and I have debated about this before, but I'm really...
I say he loved being seen, but...
And I don't, though. Like, I know it's necessary.
Right.
Because I'm an introverted guy, you know, so yeah, I'm incredibly nervous when I go on TV, even to this day. But it doesn't really show because I'm really relaxed and I look really comfortable.
Because you're prepared.
I'm prepared.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm confident. But on the inside, I'm like shaking still because I know that half of St. Louis could be watching me right now. And
you don't want to mess up, or
I'm just I want to be able to go to Walmart without somebody saying, "Oh, hey, the chicken man."
The chicken man.
Yeah,
that's his name.
I'm the chicken man.
You are the chicken man. Is that okay? I mean, you need to just put some wings on your truck and.
I mean, I'm always rocking my logo. Like, I do like my logo, and I do promote my business. But yeah, sometimes. I mean, yeah, I'm not famous by any means, but I guess St. Louis famous is different than other famous, but, you know, people, St. Louis is so small, and of course you're going to get recognized.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go places and people recognize your voice.
People recognize my voice, and sometimes I've, like, reprimanded my child in public, and I'm like, they like Stacey! I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
It's so embarrassing.
But,
it's so embarrassing.
You know, we sometimes it's annoying, and sometimes we really appreciate that.
Absolutely. I mean, we wouldn't be where we are today if we didn't have the support from the public. So, speaking of award-winning Chef Bobby Tesler of the St. Louis Wing Company, so what's next for you? Other locations? Do you want to expand? Since you have a fine dining past, is that something that you want to tackle in the future? Have you thought about that?
I've thought about it. I think people talk to me all the time about expanding and opening more restaurants and, you know, and not to downgrade anybody else's endeavors, but a lot of restaurants that have done that here in St. Louis have failed because they've lost their consistency. Chefs that have tried to expand too quickly, they lose consistency in their product, and I don't want to do that. I'm hands-on with my business. I like being there in my business to make sure that it's running properly and that my food is the same, my customer service is the same. My Yelp reviews and Google reviews reflect that.
Right.
I got 4.7 stars.
You pay attention to that.
Attention to that.
Yeah, like, that's good, though.
Like, I challenge anybody right now who's listening or watching to Google your favorite restaurant, and if they got more stars than I do, hit me up on Instagram, and I will give you a free meal. I promise you. You heard that right here.
There you go.
Find a restaurant that has more stars than I do, and your next meal is on me.
All right.
But... what I say that to say, I want to stay consistent, and that's how I do it. I'm hands-on with my business.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, when I designed the logo and the decor and everything in my restaurant, it looks like it could be in any neighborhood in St. Louis,
right,
or anywhere for that matter. So, yeah, that was a thought. But then I got to thinking about Ted Drew's and, you know, certain Fast Eddie's. Like, there's only one.
Two Ted Drews.
Yeah, one and a half because they're close.
Yeah, they're close. Yeah,
but I mean, they kept their business model the same and are successful because of it.
Right, that's true.
So I was thinking, like, well, I'll just do that.
So basically, you want to buy out the whole strip mall and be St. Louis Wing Company?
No, I just stay the way I am. Here's my thing, man. I've lived a lifestyle where I could, like, do whatever I wanted to do. And that stuff doesn't really drive me anymore.
Okay.
I'm driven by being able to make my son's football games every Friday night and watching him practice, you know, and being able to hang out with my family. And, you know, as long as I'm able to, like, take a trip once a year and go buy a new pair of sneakers whenever I feel like it.
Right.
That's enough for me.
Okay.
I don't need to, like, have a 10-bedroom house in Ladue. I'm okay with my 2-bedroom house. I'm okay with that.
And that's perfectly okay. And I think more people should learn from that. I mean, the happiness, you found your happiness.
My little house is cute. And, I like my closet the way it is. Like, I'm okay. Like, I'm not trying to be a millionaire. Like, that's not my goal. I just want to, like, I want to help people. I'm writing a book. I want to continue to mentor and work with the U.S. Probation Office to help people become successful. And that's enough for me. Like, that brings me enough happiness to just know that I'm helping other people and I'm serving a good product. And my son is going to college because he's awesome.
All right. Well, that is fantastic.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing. I think that this was a great conversation. I think people learn more about you. I don't know if you shared something
exclusively. I really don't share this very often.
Okay. Because, I like to get stuff out of people. I like exclusive stuff.
Yeah. Well, okay. A lot of people that listen probably didn't know that about me.
Okay. So. Well, there you go.
But
you
I'm not just ashamed of anything I've ever done.
As you shouldn't be, because you've moved forward and you're here. Okay. Yeah. Well, Chef Bobby Tesler, you make sure you go and visit them. Tell them exactly where you're located over there in Rock Hill.
We are 9816 Manchester Road, about half a block west of the Hacienda in Rock Hill.
And delicious food. And you got to try those. We got pictures right there on the screen, the Red Hot Riblet wings. What are those there?
Those are the Mardi Gras wings. They've got a Cajun remoulade drizzled on top.
Okay. Good. And then there's a nice little spread there.
Oh, yeah, the Thai sweet chili. There's some Red Hot Riblets back there. Yeah.
And you were the first restaurant in St. Louis to add the Red Hot Riblet flavor to anything on your menu.
Yeah, I pioneered that.
Yeah, and everybody follows. A lot of people started jacking your style.
It's all good because we know who did it first.
Yeah. And I'm sure Oviana was happy too. They're pleased with the whole thing.
They're good friends of mine. Got a great partnership.
So well, you need to set it out because they need to send me some stuff.
All right, I got you.
All right, well, you know what? That's been the Static Podcast today, brought to you by the Hester Group. You make sure you contact them if you have some legal issues, you need some stuff handled. Contact them because they have a 12-year proven track record of success. They handle serious car accident claims, also workman's comp and criminal issues. Contact the Hester Group today at 314-652-4321. Also, Dr. Deutschman over at the Spine Center. Make sure you contact him if you have been suffering from whiplash, your neck, your back, all of that. It needs to be adjusted. You make sure you holler at him because he specializes in correcting whiplash. Whether you've been involved in a fall, a sports injury, or you just got a bad bed and you've been sleeping wrong over time, you need to give Dr. Deutschman a call today. 314-454-1437. We're also powered by the St. Louis Wing Company. Chef Bobby Tesler here. And also My Blooming Health, the mobile blood drawing service. Shouts out to our partner, Unheard Media. JP, CEO over there doing her thing. You make sure you contact her as well. That's been the Static Podcast today. I'll chat with you tomorrow. Bye.